Chapter 59. Folks, listen to me. I've been holding off sharing this opinion, but I think the idea that we're dealing with direct communication with animals, using AI, isn't that far-fetched, Case started. Of course, my opinion isn't everything, but it's based on a weird experience I had about a month ago when I was working with a team of biologists and recording experts off the island of Maui in Hawaii, he continued. Maui? Nice? Dion said, trying to lighten the mood a little. Oh, it's much better than nice, but at the rate we're going, it won't be that way for long, Eugene responded. I thought your focus was birdsong, LP said. It absolutely is, but the recording hardware is fairly hard to come by and is extremely expensive, so I didn't mind when they offered to fly me over with my gear and assistance to engage in a bioacoustic recording experiment of humpback whales. It's important to me to emphasize that I probably wouldn't have been tagging along with you folks if this event hadn't happened when it did, he continued. Starting from the top, I was in Maui. My assistants, Mariana and Diego, were also with me, and we were all suited up with our scuba gear, as well as our custom underwater cameras and recording equipment. With everything that we were carting around in the ocean just off the coast, it was hard to maneuver anywhere, so most of the time, we were just still in the water. You must have looked more like bait than a scientific research team, Atman said, amused with the image. We certainly felt that way, but I think it was our lack of activity that drew the attention of the whales. There were six in total. They were all about the same size, so you can imagine how awkward it might feel to be surrounded by cetaceans that averaged 50 feet in length and 60,000 pounds each. One of them started to make a very low, deep rumble, and then the others joined in. It was like standing beside an airplane getting ready for takeoff. Honestly, the sound, no, the vibration was unlike anything I had ever experienced. Standing by a speaker at a rave might come close, or maybe listening to jazz bagpipes. They went on like that for a while, each one making a series of squeaks and groans. There didn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to the sounds. This went on for about 5 minutes. It was almost like they were getting in tune. Some of the sounds made me think of sounds our Neanderthal ancestors might have made, yelling in a cave. Others sounded like kids playing in a yard, squealing with delight at their freedom and oblivious to the rest of the world. There was a tone of rage, too, although for all I know, it could have been intense sorrow, like a mother crying out for a child that died in an accident. Case paused, visibly moved by the retelling of the experience. It was like nothing I'd heard before. What happened next? Faith begged. The three of us continued to hang in the water, suspended in time and space. We felt like we had front row seats to the greatest performance in the world. The longer I hung there, the more I began to recognize patterns. All four of Case's new friends were mesmerized, stunned by the description. None of them had been anywhere near a whale in their lives, but all of them were familiar with whale song, and how early recordings by people like Roger Payne had been so vital to their protection through the 1970s and onwards. Case continued. Finally, they paused for about a minute, and then all of them pivoted so that they were floating vertically in the waters with their flukes, or tails, close to the surface and their heads pointed down. They seemed to be in perfect harmony as they moved in unison, slowly and deliberately, as if they were conducting some kind of ancient ritual. What struck me was that no other sea creatures came near them. I didn't know if it was the whale's song that was somehow keeping all the other creatures at a distance, or if there just wasn't anything in the area, but it quickly became more than surreal. It's almost as if they were warning the other sea life away or protecting something. You guys must have been freaking out, LP said with awe. We certainly were, but we also had an intuitive sense that they were putting on this performance just for us, Case said. Once they were in position, a single low note was emitted by all of them in unison. I swear to God the vibrations were going to rip me apart if they'd kept going. Within a few moments, they quickly broke off into a range of different tones that seemed incoherent at first. But, like the first group of sounds, these two soon followed a pattern. It was so overwhelming and powerful. Each animal seemed to take a turn, singing something slightly different to us. I had my recording gear on the whole time, but it took a moment for Diego to turn his on. This was clearly a unique experience, and I truly believe that they were singing some kind of warning to us. For those few moments, I believe that they were telling us that something was happening in the ocean that they didn't fully understand, but they seemed to be indicating that it was going to have a profound effect on us. They sang what seemed like their main song only once, and I was able to record the whole thing. Diego missed a few moments, but caught most of the performance. Mariana caught most of it on film. The whales paused for a few more moments, then returned to the biophony of sound once more, and then all of them dispersed within a heartbeat. "So," Diane blurted out anxiously, "I can only assume you bolted back to your studio or lab or whatever and played the hell out of it to try to figure out if there was actually a message." "Indeed we did. To be honest, I was so distracted I forgot to start with my own recording, which was more complete. So we started with Diego's and played it several times on a loop. It was Mariana who suggested tweaking the speed and the tone to see if we could make more sense of the pattern. Once we brought up the pitch and speed to a comfortable human level, I made out the pattern immediately. It was Morse code," he shouted excitedly. "It was finally Atman's time to utter an expletive. You're fucking kidding me." LP had never seen him lose his cool, yet here he was like a big puddle of water at the foot of an iceberg. "I shit you not. We must have played it 100 times. It might have been a fluke, but then Diego put together the letters and code, and it looked like this." He reached for a pad of paper and a pen and jotted down the code. "Dot dash. Dash dot. Dash dash dot. Dot. Dot dash dot." "Without a doubt," he said, "it's spelled A-N-G-E-R. The whole group caught its collective breath, and there was a long moment of stunned silence. LP was the first to speak. "Okay, just hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Please pardon the pun, Dr. Case, but that's a whale of a tale. There are so many layers to this that I know I'm miles away from being able to comprehend. Do you mean to tell me that whales have learned Morse fucking code?" "As God is my witness, that's what we recorded, and that's how we translated it," Eugene said. The expression on his face was one of sheer bliss. "You have to remind yourself of the context," Case continued. "Human speech means nothing underwater, because our sounds need air to carry them. Whales, on the other hand, rely on water to carry the vibrations they make, and the only human language that they might know would be Morse code, picked up from ships or submarines." It was Atman's turn. "So, each whale learned a letter in Morse code, translated it into English, and then put on a front row seat show for you and your friends." Case nodded. "In other words, you were witness to one of the greatest moments in the history of interspecies communication, and this is the first we're hearing about it." "I know it sounds crazy," Case said, "but we had recordings and we had files that were printed, filed, organized, and more. We started writing a paper and we're going to release it at the conference where I met you." "I sense a but," Dion said, her tone thick with apprehension. Case nodded glumly. "But," he looked down with a sense of shame, his elation pivoting to sadness. "All our records got destroyed. We didn't know what to make of it until you folks told us about this digital destroyer device that LP's friend brought to his apartment. We had stuff in the cloud too, as well as RAID servers with triple copies of everything. But it turned to vapor when we started talking about it a few days after the event. The other two experts who were on the site didn't have any recordings, as they were in charge of safety measures." "This is some serious Roswell-level madness you're talking about," Dion said, shaking her head. "I know. It's all crazy. I know. I have one possible copy that we're still getting analyzed, and that's why I was so keen to see John. He has the air-gapped studio to protect the recording and the technology to hear it through.